important that you silence your electronic devices so we don't have any interruptions during the meeting. That applies to council and staff as well. So I appreciate you doing that for me. It's a longstanding tradition of Simpsonville Council to have an invocation prior to each meeting. And this is a time when we prepare ourselves to do the important work of the city in a solemn and thoughtful way. Is there a council member who would like to give a prayer? Councilmember Root.
Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your love and your protection on us and this country. We'll continue to pray that you would bless this country, and we'll pray you protect our friends in Israel right now. Lord, we pray that that we would realize that you still sit on the throne and you're still in control. Pray to be with our meeting tonight, that it would honor and please you. Pray you'd be with our city and staff, that you would keep your hand of protection upon them. In your name we pray. Amen.
I call to order the October 10th business meeting of Simpsonville City Council. Clerk Clark, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mayor. Councilmember Gooch?
Here.
Councilmember Root? Councilmember Houlihan?
Here.
Councilmember Roche? Councilmember Cummings?
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Here.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Here.
Please rise as you are able and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Each member of council has received a copy of the minutes from the August 8th business meeting. Are there any corrections to those minutes? Hearing none, the minutes will stand approved as written. We have no one sign up for citizen comments this evening, so we'll go straight to business. Item 6A. First reading of Z-2023-02, proposed rezoning of property at 233 Harrison Bridge Road. Planner John Derby, will you summarize for us, please? Oh, hold one moment, please. Councilmember Root.
Yeah, I ask that I be recused from this business item, please.
Okay. You have your recusal form, if you'll make sure that gets down to the clerk.
Now?
Now or later, it doesn't matter. Just make sure she gets it.
Okay.
All right, now. Mr. Derby, will you summarize for us, please?
Good evening, Council. Mayor. On your screen is the location for tonight's rezoning request. This is 233 Harrison Bridge Road. This is the Bible Baptist Church. The applicant tonight is looking at the rezoning rezone ROI to Business General. Last meeting, committee of the whole, we did discuss this site being a relocation of the current Chick-fil-A on Ferry Road. They have a preliminary site plan showing the layout. And that's Harrison Bridge Road at the top. I mean, last time we had a configuration issue, or it's an orientation issue. This will close up other proposed site, this location from the current. So this is the way it would be oriented to the north. Coming left and right is Harrison Bridge Road. And on the left is the private drive that leads back to the South Baptist Church. Nothing's changed from the committee of the whole meeting, and I can answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Motion is in order. Councilmember Gooch.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I move that we approve in first reading Z-2023-02, proposed rezoning of property at 233 Harrison Bridge Road.
Thank you. I have a motion from Councilmember Gooch with a second from Councilmember Cummings. Councilmember Gooch.
Thank you. Just a couple of questions for you. We went over a lot of this at the last meeting. And I had some confusion about this. So can you go back to the very first page? I think it was in color. It shows a little bit higher overview there. Thank you. The road directly across from the entrance to Bible, is that a driveway or is that a, that's not a street, is it? Is that the entrance that goes down towards the hospital?
I'm not sure where you're going at.
Directly across.
From, yes, sir, that is. That's what splits the...
Well, that little purple squiggle line there is. Yes.
Yes, that is the...
That's the elevation line, sorry.
Yes, sir, that leads between the current culvert boundary back to the new hospital.
Okay. So it's not at the traffic light. And then the other question I had, I do like what they did where they brought the traffic into the, off the main road, so not stacking up like they do on Ferry Road, and they can stack fairly. I think they set up maybe 50 cars, and I'm going by memory. It was a significant increase of what they had. I'd had a conversation after the meeting with the engineer, and he briefly went over a couple of things with me that I didn't realize where they are now. They're on, I think, approximately a quarter of an acre, and this increases it by, well, from a quarter to over 2 acres. So they have a significant increase in capacity and pedestrian safety because of the way the parking and everything else runs. It pulls the cars away from the pedestrians trying to walk in, which is a problem they have on the Ferry Road now. Talk to me a little bit about left turns, because I know there's not a light there to control it. What are you seeing there on the left turn, other than the ability to make a left turn?
It's going to be difficult, like what the church has to deal with when they leave there. I don't think there's any visibility issue besides just trying to generate enough openings to get through there to the lane. Hopefully, in the future, the point is to have this developed more along this road to require cross access, so maybe in the future they can cross access over Gap and Cove. That would help them further down, separate from the light. At those incidents, it is possible that DOT could entertain the traffic light there during development. But again, that would be a far away from that intersection. But as right now, left turn lanes out there would be an issue, just like with the churches.
Has DOT weighed in on the situation as far as what's coming to the road to traffic? Is that part of this?
I would have to rely that over to the applicant manager because I have reached out to DOT.
I'm seeing somebody nod in the crowd. Could you briefly just tell me what DOT has said?
Yeah, I'm Mike Wagner, Robert George and Associates, and the operators here as well, Matt Weber. We're currently doing the traffic counts. We actually just received them, and they're going to do an analysis of those counts and see how that operates with the traffic on the main thoroughfare and the driveway across that you were asking about, the search culverts that might connect to a townhome and a couple other things that are in there. So depending on what comes out of that and level of service, we're going to give those results to DOT. Kimberly Horn is doing a traffic study. I think I mentioned that before. And out of that, we'll decide, or DOT will decide, what kind of road improvements are necessary. There's been discussion of possibly a deceleration lane, but we're not sure if that's necessary yet. At the very least, maybe an increased radius or taper coming in. And then, of course, the back-to-back left turns, there'll have to be some shared space with the left turn that goes to the signal. And of course, now that there be a dedicated left turn for Chick-fil-A in the church, which is already happening, you know, during church services.
Sure. And of course, they're closed on Sunday, so it's not going to cause an issue on Sundays. If you had to do a deceleration lane, would it coming, I guess, towards the traffic light on this side, on Chick-fil-A side, where do you think that
drawing,
might go?
It would be actually off the drawing and to the left of the drawing. The deceleration lane would be coming in to serve the entry.
Okay.
And obviously you don't need a deceleration lane for the left turn. You just need storage out in the center.
So Bible Baptist, would you have to come back and do a variation if you got to do a deceleration lane on this?
Well, it won't be on Chick-fil-A's property, which we're going to subdivide this out. There may be some right-of-way that the church may have to grant, depending on what's available right now from the curb to the shoulder. So if that takes place, I don't think we'll need to come back to the board. We'll just obviously deal with the DOT.
But if they require you to pursue an issue with the property owner now, hopefully.
None that I'm aware of, and I've had discussions with the pastor. I know that Matt's had numerous discussions, not directly in that loop contractually, but I think the church is cooperating as much as they possibly can. I've not heard anything negative that we've presented so far.
Okay. Well, I'm curious to see the results of DOT. I can see how deceleration would help.
Yes.
I'm not DOT, but I'm in favor of this. I think it's going to be a great idea. It's going to help the business owner out and hopefully alleviate traffic on Fairview and go move to somewhere else. But I can see how this is definitely a good plan. So thank you for bringing it to us, and I'm in favor of it. Thank you for answering my questions.
Counsel? I just have one more question. It's kind of along the same lines. If you look at this drawing here towards the top and the center of Harrison Bridge Road, it says upside down, Harrison Bridge Road right-of-way varies. It appears to me that that is the left turn stacking for turning onto Grandview. And just looking at a couple of these different drawings and pictures, it would not appear to me that there is enough right-of-way to put in a traffic light at this intersection and have the traffic light at Grandview. Just they would be so close together, it looks to me like they would interfere. So do you have a feel for that at all?
What we've been told, they have a distance, so they don't put a new traffic light off top of my head. I can't tell you what that is, 1,000 feet.
It appears to me that it would be below that distance, so.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. I'm in favor of it, too. I just was curious about that. Any other questions or comments from council? On the motion to approve on first reading of Z-2023-02, proposed rezoning of property at 233 Harrison Bridge Road, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. Next item, first reading of TX-2023-02, miscellaneous refinements to the zoning ordinance. Mr. Derby, would you summarize for us, please?
Yes, sir. Again, this is the text amendment updates to our zoning ordinance. And kind of over the bullets for this, we are looking to update the table allowed uses to allow paid parking as a use in the city. Currently, we do not allow that since the future downtown growth, possibly in a parking garage. One of this is get out ahead of that and describe the layouts, designs that we don't want. A paid parking or a public parking layout. There's definitions to include in that at the bottom, 8.5, that kind of reference the parts of the stalls that you don't want. So there's parking devices. 4.5.11, look for good gravel as an allowable use. Currently, 9 spaces or less in the city, you can use gravel. Well, it's in the back. Again, I think time the city. Since it has come that we would want to encourage people to have asphalt instead of gravel just for maintenance. The original point of that was to give people, get a kind of economic growth in the city and help people out to avoid having a stormwater permit. And again, Greenville County kind of looks at gravel as pervious, just like asphalt, so it's not saving them to go into Greenville County either way. So with the point of maintenance, something we'll look for in the city, of course, having everyone use asphalt, concrete, something of hard surface instead of gravel. 4.7.3 is requiring added vegetation to the back curb and sidewalk. Again, this is more for pedestrian safety. We require that in subdivisions only. Those are right away to be home. Really gives that buffer for people walking the sidewalks so they're not right against the road. So this would be a city-owned road that we require. It's not currently in our zoning ordinance. Some developers do that, but I'm saying they have to do that. So again, 8.5 kind of talks about the defining parking kiosks, garages, and stall areas that we're trying to avoid in the process. Nothing's changed since we had a whole meeting, and I can answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Derby. A motion is in order. Councilmember Hutchings.
Mayor and Council, I make a motion to approve on first reading TX-2023-02, miscellaneous refinements to the zoning ordinance.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hutchings with a second from Councilmember Root. Discussion? Councilmember Cummings.
Just for clarification, if this were to go into effect and private business owners could utilize parking and, I guess, charge, it would be on them to handle issues with fines or, you know, someone parking there overnight too long into the hours of the business. That would not be on the city's resources, correct?
Correct. We have one person that kind of brought this to us as a desire, and they kind of worked with them on what they were looking to do, just like a lot of businesses that have, you know, private property towing by whatever contract they have, it's solely up to them to post those and advertise that this is paid parking, this is how you pay, if you don't, this is what happens.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? All right, on the motion to approve on first reading of TX 2023-02, miscellaneous refinements to the zoning ordinance, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. Next item is resolution R-2023-05, pledging to practice and promote civility. This is my item, so I will summarize for council. As I discussed at the last meeting, this is prompted by the Municipal Association of South Carolina, which, as you all know, is an outstanding organization. They came up with this civility, a momentum that they want to get all municipalities in South Carolina to participate in having this resolution. And the wording comes from the Municipal Association. And when they first started this a couple of years ago, I thought, that's great, you know, but we have a very civil council. I just kind of shrugged my shoulders at it and didn't think about it much anymore. But at the annual meeting this year, they pushed again and said, we have so many municipalities signing on. We have other states that are picking up this civility pledge that they're promoting and using South Carolina's plan as the model plan across the country. And they would like to have as many municipalities adopt this resolution so that they can have a long list of cities and towns in our state that have adopted it. And I thought, well, we are a very civil council. There won't be a problem to pass this. So that's why I bring this resolution in front of council. So I move to approve resolution R-2023-05, pledging to practice and promote civility.
Second.
I have a motion from me as the mayor and a second from Councilmember Goulet. Discussion? Councilmember Hutchings?
As I mentioned in our last meeting on this, in Article 2, Section 269 under conduct in the Code of Ordinances, we have a pretty comprehensive code requirement there. And I have no objection to this resolution, but as I mentioned then, and I think the mayor agreed to do this, is to reference this this section 269 in the resolution, since we have already codified a lot of these things, and it's actually even more comprehensive in the Code of Ordinances. So that was my suggestion.
So I apologize. I forgot to get that amendment put into the resolution. I think we can add a whereas, as stated in section in Code of Ordinances, Simpsonville Code of Ordinances 2-69, whatever the heading is for that, you know,
the conduct.
Code of conduct, right. And you're absolutely right. That's one of the reasons why I wasn't too concerned about needing to adopt this resolution, because we have good rules in place. I will get that wording added to the resolution. And once we add that wording, my recommendation is that we go ahead and approve the resolution with that added wording. And I move to amend the motion to include wording from section 2-69 from the Code of Ordinances and adopt the resolution as amended. Do I hear a second?
Second.
I have a motion from Mayor Shoemaker and a second from Councilmember Hutchings to amend the wording of the resolution. So now the new main motion is resolution R-2023-05, pledging to practice and promote civility, with including reference to the City Code of Ordinances 2-69. Discussion? Okay, then on that motion, will all those who approve of the motion signify by saying yes?
Yes.
Yes. All opposed signify by saying no?
No.
No? So we have a no from Councilmember Gooch.
It's the amendment.
What's that?
It's the amendment.
The amendment. Your no on the amendment. Okay. All right. So the motion carries to amend the main motion. So discussion on the main motion. Councilmember Gooch.
Thank you. I appreciate the sentiment and the thought behind this. I understand the municipal association is trying to promote civility, but as Mr. Hutchins pointed out, we already have these old rules entombed in our ordinances, and Alex, I appreciate the sentiment, but you know, I look at the statistics. I don't know the source of the statistics. I did a quick Google search, and they're quite old, actually, so maybe better, maybe worse. Yes, is are we getting less civil population? Perhaps. But my concern with this is it vaguely, maybe veiled, I don't know, maybe it's a verb, but it's a veiled attempt in some ways to limit somebody's speech. And I don't think somebody should be able to stand at the podium or up here and be rude to you. And that's not what I'm getting at. But I do think that at some point, we're up here and our better angels are running us today. But tomorrow my better angels may not be, and I may find something you say offensive, and I can point to this and say, I don't like that, you need to be quiet. And on occasion, in the running of government, whether from this podium or from the public, things do need to be said that may not sound quite nice. They don't have to be uncivil or rude. But if somebody construes it that way, I don't want somebody pointing to a rule and saying, you can't say that. Honestly, I don't need to put on a virtue signaling cape and see if it would flap in the wind. We have rules that govern this, and I'm just not interested. So I appreciate the sentiment, but my vote will be no. And if I don't know how to behave in public at this point in my life, this piece of paper is not going to make me learn how. Thank you.
Further discussion? Councilmember Hulley.
I'm in favor of the resolution. I don't see that there's any harm in a non-binding resolution that we agree that it's the right thing to do to be civil servants, to treat each other with respect. Do we have rules to that effect? Yes, we do. Did it take a lot to get those rules in place? Absolutely. And I think if there's a problem with, Councilmember Roop said something that I don't like, the problem would be whether or not it's in the rules and not in a non-binding resolution. The ordinance actually dictates our behavior. This may be a sentiment, but it's a sentiment of this council, which I believe the mayor pointed out last time, is sort of important as we go into an election where this council is going to flip. And the message we're sending to the public and to the people that are going to follow us is that in Simpsonville, we believe that civility matters. That's our expectation of each other as members of the body, and it's our expectation of the people who will follow us. So I'm in favor.
Councilman Gooch.
Thank you, and I appreciate, again, the words of Ms. Houlihan. I respect her greatly in what she said. I just have a problem with redundancy in addition to what I've said. So that's it. But thank you, and I appreciate you listening. That's it.
Further discussion from council? So, I'm not sure I see in this resolution anything that would limit our ability to have discussion and vigorous debate. In fact, the resolution discusses having free and vigorous debate, maintaining the highest standards of civility, honesty, and mutual respect. And I agree with Councilmember Houlihan that our council rules have some specifics in them that get at how we are supposed to behave that addresses those civility issues. Those rules address that council members will not call each other names, or there's several different things in there that are covered by the actual code of ordinances that would allow us to make sure that we're reminding each other, which is important. I have I've been very thankful that I have a council that will point out when I make a mistake and help me to get it right, and I have never felt offended by that. And likewise, I don't think council has been offended when a council member has called another council member to order either. However, I do know that we have had some history in this city. I was actually reviewing council minutes from several years ago, just this past week, and I know that there were times when maybe having a resolution like this that council members had signed off on might have made them more thoughtful about how they behaved. And if they were not more thoughtful, then the code of ordinances that's specific is how we should deal with those issues. My preference is that this never comes up. I mean, really, in my almost 4 years now being on council, it has never come up. That's why I wasn't chasing it before. But I did mention before, and I appreciate Councilman Houlihan mentioning it again, that we are getting, you know, at least three new council members, maybe four, come election day on November the 7th. And that's no matter what. We have three council members who are stepping down and taking with them 20 years of combined experience and institutional knowledge. No matter what, we're getting three brand new council members. And I do think that it's important that we leave a message for those who are coming in the future that this is what we believed in. At the same time, it's important to understand that we have the ability to disagree with each other, even on an issue like this, and do it respectfully and respect each other's opinions. And so, Councilmember Gooch, I'd like for you to vote for it, but you won't hurt my feelings if you don't. Because that's not how we do things on Simpsonville Council. So that brings my comments to a close. Any further discussion? All right, on the motion to approve resolution R-2023-05, pledging to practice and promote civility with mention of Code of Ordinances 2-69. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no.
No.
And one no vote. All right. Did you get that, clerk?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Last item on the agenda, a motion to direct city administrator to investigate and make recommendations for safety and control measures for concert traffic. Council Member Roche, this is her item, and she is not present with us tonight. So, do I have a motion? A motion is in order. Councilmember Root?
I'm not sure how to make this motion, because this motion was...
Just read it the way it is.
Council Mayor, make the motion that we motion to direct city administrator to investigate and make recommendations for safety and control measures for concert traffic.
So here's a second.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Root with a second from Councilmember Houlihan.
Cool.
Discussion? Councilmember Gooch.
Thank you. I noticed when we did this motion last time, a lot of these items had already been addressed and were being addressed. Can you give us an update on where we are before we read some? You may or may not be.
Does that mean?
I'm going to blame myself. So I'm not sure. I think that may be your
point. I'm going to turn this back.
If you could just please give us an update on where we are, which would help give us some guidance on what we should or shouldn't do here.
Sure.
Thank you.
So I think just to clarify, and I would like to update you on some of the things that we've done, but this motion and vote tonight is simply to instruct me to investigate and come back with recommendations to help alleviate some of the concerns that were mentioned 2 weeks ago. And again, apologies to all of you. I know I emailed and told you I was very sorry that I was not able to be here with you for that meeting, but I did take copious notes and listen to that audio, rewound and forwarded, and you know, listened to it many times to make sure that I got all of the concerns listed. Parks and Rec Director Davis and I have met.
Will you hand me your microphone?
Just technical difficulties.
Sit it back, son.
We have met twice in the past 3 weeks with the management team from TRC. I actually should back up and start by saying that we recognized last year that there was an issue with traffic coming in on the back entrance. We can't control what happens back there. What we can do is provide parking for vehicles to alleviate on-street parking on Dennis Waldron Way and put measures in place to keep that from happening, because it does create a safety issue with pedestrians after the show. It does create a mess when cars are coming in and trying to figure out what to do. We can't simply turn them away. We tried that before. There was a show last October where we had a police officer stationed and we were turning traffic away, and it was backed up all the way to 417. So obviously that's not a good solution for anybody, because it led to a true traffic snarl on Howard Drive. So I say all that to say, when that was recognized, the city owned this property. The property on the other side of Dennis Waldron Way is wetlands. We can't do anything with that. But this property, we were able to utilize. The city already owned it. So we hired an engineer to design the layout of the parking lot, the retention pond, apply for the DHEC stormwater permit to be able to grade the site. Council budgeted the funding to build the parking lot. We did that. And you all know how much it rained this year. You know, the hope was that it would be ready for the first concert of the season, but because it rained repeatedly May, June, the contractor wasn't able to get started until later. We didn't want to park cars on there until the grass had time to establish itself, or otherwise we would be repeating that process again. So while we were having the discussion 2 weeks ago, attendants were there to park cars in the new parking lot. It has now been utilized three times, once for the concert 2 weeks ago, and then twice during the Voyage Fest 2 weekends ago, so a week and a half or so ago. It seems to be working well. We're going to continue to monitor that. You know, we'll see how it goes after the last event of the season. It's expected to be not as heavily attended as the concert 2 weeks ago, but certainly a crowd over the course of 3 days. So we want to keep an eye on that, but we were already aware of the issues, and so we were seeking solutions, and that parking lot has now been employed and seems to be working well. Some of the other things that we have done is we have now a police officer posted at the entrance to Holliston, because one thing that I can tell you is not acceptable is for residents to have to try to keep people who don't belong in their neighborhood out. That should never be their responsibility. And so we have posted a police officer there to monitor that. There's about a 3 hour window with every concert, typically a 5 to 8. We may adjust it some for various concert times, but that's something we intend to continue doing for every time there's an event in the venue. We are also going to contact Google, because council many years ago, before I even came, made the decision to close Dennis Waldron Way to through traffic. And one thing that was failed to be done after that decision was made was to contact Google and change that on the mapping for GPS so that it doesn't show as a through street anymore. I think that'll help, because cars won't assume that they can drive all the way through there. I will tell you that several years ago, TRZ eliminated parking fees because there was such a backup on Southeast Main Street, because traffic had to slow down so cars could pay the parking attendants a $5 or $10 fee per car. I can't remember what it was, but they eliminated that. They're not doing that on the rear because we're trying to get traffic to flow into the venue as efficiently as possible. So that has happened. We've placed garbage receptacles along Dennis Waldron Way to try to address the concern that people were just throwing trash down as they were walking that to their vehicles. That seemed to work well. And then TRZ also agreed to reverse the order in which they cleaned the venue. So before, they would clean the inside of the venue first and then work their way out to Dennis Waldron Way. They've reversed that now, and they're cleaning Dennis Waldron Way first and then cleaning inside the venue, so that we can try to get whatever litter doesn't make it in the receptacles picked up as quickly as possible. What else? I think that's pretty much everything that we've employed to date. So really, the additional parking lot, the officer posted at the entrance to Holliston to keep cars from going in there that don't belong, and the trash receptacles. I will say that TRZ has, they're staffing the parking lot at the bottom. There's lighting there. There are porta potties there so we can minimize the impact of people who come early and park and tailgate, because there are people who will do that. And so there are trash receptacles and porta potties and lighting to keep everybody as safe and orderly as we possibly can. That is what we have discussed so far. And, you know, based on council's vote tonight, I'll continue to research options to make sure if there are other concerns that I haven't addressed, that we can address those during the off season, so that next concert season hopefully will go very smoothly.
Okay, thank you. Just a couple follow-up questions for you. So you mentioned the trash. Have you seen an improvement since the last three shows?
Yes, I've actually been out there the next morning after. Well, let me clarify that. I was out there the Wednesday morning after the Shinedown concert 2 weeks ago, and it was by 10 a.m. I didn't see any traffic, any garbage littering the street. It had been picked up. Voyage Fest, I can't say I was out there the next morning, because that was a Friday night and a Saturday night, and I did not go out there on Sunday morning to see what it looked like. But I've not fielded any emails or phone calls telling me that those problems were persisting. So I'm hopeful that those have been remedied. But again, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll see how things go with this last event. And then, you know, in the off season, sit down with the management team and try to figure out the most efficient way to get cars in and out of there. One of the things that we're looking at, and we have not solidified the number of parking yet, but we're talking about bringing cars that come in through the rear all the way up into the meadow and allocating about 400 parking places in the meadow, which is closer to the box office. Right now, traffic that goes into the meadow comes in from the front entrance. So we would almost be not splitting it in half, but allowing for some parking. So the cars would come in, they would fill up the meadow first, and then they would go back down to the bottom parking lot and fill that up, which would accommodate about 1,200 cars. And I'm hoping that that's the number of cars that would come in that way. We try not to encourage people to come in that way, but, you know, rideshare uses that. So we want to keep it as open as we can. But, you know, like I said, we tried turning cars around last October, and that went horribly wrong. So we know that doesn't work. Which is why we built the additional parking, so that we had a place to put the cars that came in on the rear side. You know, this amphitheater grew organically and was not planned thoroughly. It was a stage in a field when it first, and again, before my time, but my understanding of the history of this is that Aloft wanted to move from Anderson to Simpsonville, and accommodations were made to allow for that. A stage was built, not the stage in the form that you see it today, but a more simplified version of the stage. Modular restroom units were put in place, which has since been reconstructed from ground up construction. So there have been a lot of improvements made to the park over the years to try to mitigate the fact that it wasn't thoroughly planned out when it was first put in place. And it happened. And now we have to work with what we have in the best way we can. And, you know, one of the things is you have one road that serves that. You know, Southeast Main Street is four lanes, but it also gets very backed up with traffic going in that one entrance. People are going to come in the back whether you encourage them to or not. That is a two-lane road on Howard, and so we don't want to encourage people to do that, but we also don't want to have traffic back up from people doing that and not having any infrastructure to accommodate them on that side. So I am hopeful that this parking lot will help. It's been attended for three shows now, you know, counting two with Voyage Fest, because that was a two-day festival. So in those three, I feel like there have been improvements, and we'll continue to monitor and we'll continue to meet and look for other possible remedies. What I do want to do is provide council with a map of the park with all of the parking facilities indicated on that so that you can see how many parking places are available throughout the park. Some of the parking is on property that does not belong to the city. H.B. Fuller allows the city to utilize two of their grass lots for events. And we, you know, foster a really good relationship with them so we can continue that, because if that were eliminated, we'd have another set of problems that we would be dealing with.
So trash needs to be taken care of. The other thing that was reported was property damage, people urinating in public, and public drunkenness. And I know we have a limited number of officers versus thousands of people. What, if anything, have you been able to discover about, especially public drunkenness and getting in a car and trying to drive home?
Well, I think any venue that sells alcohol is going to have an issue with people who don't obey the laws. You know, there's bad human behavior everywhere. I know that when the gates are open after an event, staff try to keep individuals from taking open containers with them to cut down on the trash. You know, it's a huge volume of people that leave the venue all at the same time, and so you're not going to catch everyone. You also can't catch everyone that's getting behind the wheel of their car to drive. Same thing with any bar that people go to or a restaurant where they may imbibe too much. You know, it's hard to keep control over that. The police officers are not stationed in the parking areas to, you know, put people on the breathalyzer before they get in the car. And I don't even know if that would be a legal thing for them to do, but they almost have to drive the car away before you can charge them with anything. All I can say to that is they do stop serving 30 minutes before the show ends. That's pretty typical with most venues. I was in Charlotte recently for a football game, and they stopped serving at the end of the third quarter, which is probably about a 45-minute window. But for the same reason, you know, you're trying to keep people from, one, leaving with open containers, and two, not having time to sober up. 30 minutes is not enough, an hour is not enough, 2 hours is not enough if people have had too much to drink. So I don't know that we could put a time limit on that would alleviate that problem altogether. Again,
has TRZ looked at, are they making sure they're not over-serving? That was a question that came up.
So all of the staff at these events are safe serve certified. It's a requirement that they have for all of the staff working there. Those people are trained to not only check identification for make sure people are legal drinking age, but also to monitor their behavior as they're buying alcohol. I know that in the time that TRZ has managed, that there have not been any SLED citations or warnings about that. Now, again, that doesn't mean it's not happening. It just means that there haven't been warnings or citations issued.
At least they have a process in place.
Yes.
And then my last question, how does the officer who's posted for Harleston know the person lives there? How do they determine that?
I'm sure they're asking if people are turning in, or you're a resident, because this is not for concert parking. And I'll tell you that the officer, I'm not sure who was posted for the Shinedown show, because I wasn't there to see. For Voyage Fest, I was there both nights, and it was Captain Williams. So obviously one of our more veteran officers was posted there.
Thank you.
Councilmember Cummings.
Yes. Thank you for this follow-up. I wanted to say a couple things. I'm trying to be too long. I know I don't want to name names, but I've talked to a lot of folks, I think, that are in this room here via email, phone call, and I want you to understand and know that we absolutely value the information that you're reaching out. Even prior to my time on council, some of these issues persisted, not in, like, Holliston, for example, because it wasn't a neighborhood yet, but Heritage Park, Heritage Creek, some other neighborhoods had similar issues. And with the help of Chief Hanshaw, he's not here, had done some things. And it did take a little bit of time, but it was corrected. I don't want to necessarily make this a positive, but I guess it kind of is. Doing some of this research, because I've been on this task for a number of years before it was actually brought to council. We've been actually working on it for a long time. You know, I reached out to some other neighboring, I'd say, outdoor facilities, kind of in a 2 to 3 hour time frame, and talked to some of the departments, said, hey, what are you guys doing to kind of prevent some of these issues that we're having? And I find that a lot of their responses was, you know, that's kind of not our responsibility. Like, you know, these homeowners bought these homes here and they know that this is the case. So I want you to know that is obviously not our stance. And we're trying to figure out what we can do to change really just the mindset and get folks changing of what they have been doing traditionally. I didn't even know there was a phone number to Google to call. I mean, I'll take that under maybe my responsibility. We didn't call Google to get them to change that address of how you can go in. But we'll do that, and maybe that will help. But just know that we're going to continue to figure out things to make them change. Just like before the neighborhood was enacted, you could, you know, drive through, you know, as Diana mentioned, you could actually drive through the park to, you know, cut through to get to Howard from the other street. And when we stopped that access, it was definitely painful for a lot of people, especially coming over to Bryson Elementary to take you. I used to cut through there. It was much easier than going all the way around, but it was a safety concern. We had pedestrians and people walking dogs, and it was people driving 30 and 40 miles an hour through there. We had to do it. So just like that was tough, and just like that was needed to make some changes, you know, we're going to figure out a solution. We're not going to stop until a solution is made. So I just wanted to say that for what that was worth. So like I said, I wish Chief Hanshaw was here to thank him and his staff for what they're trying to do, and all the other things that we're trying to look at. There will be a resolution. We just have to figure out what that is. And I think the steps are being made to make that resolution. So thank you.
Councilmember Rip.
Couple of things. You answered some of my questions. I want to make sure that I have this right. The parking on the back side on Dennis Walker Way, where we do have the signs, the mayor and I needed to physically see. So we actually drove through the dirt parking lots. We saw a little bit more than I wanted to. That's always been.
You asked to see it.
I did a real scenic run today. That's always been illegal to park there, correct? That's not anything.
I'm sorry, park where?
Up against Dennis Walker Way, where the signs are in front of their neighborhoods.
So we just, thank you for mentioning that, because I did fail to say that we did erect those signs actually before the meeting that you all had 2 weeks ago. I was absent. We had already erected those signs because I do recognize that it's the city's responsibility to protect that HOA property. So yes, there's no parking allowed along the HOA property for Halston. And it may be necessary to extend the no parking signs further up. We'll see what happens. We can achieve that maybe with barricades during the event, because I absolutely hate sign litter as well. You know, it's very unsightly to have a row of signs all the way up on both sides of the road. So it may be done just during events with barricades or something to that effect. But now the pipeline, there's always been parking along the pipeline. And I think part of the reason why it's gotten so much heavier traffic-wise along Dennis Walter Way is because so much of the pipeline has been eliminated with the development of the new subdivision. Mm-hmm. And that took a lot of parking away, which, you know, led to people still wanting to come in the rear entrance and then just parking wherever they could find a place. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to eliminate that from happening. I think by using a portion of the meadow from the rear entrance and then having the new parking, we'll be able to do that. There's still going to be parking on the pipeline. A lot of the staff that work these events park there. They arrive early, and that's where they're parking so that they're not taking up parking for folks, for concert goers, because we want to leave as much of that open as possible.
It seems to me a good solution to prevent parking there. Let's say someone shows up late and the police officer's already left that area. They're going to park there whether there's a sign or not. Policing it is one thing, but I think if we let the public know that they can't park there at the pipeline, that's staff parking, but make that's staff parking, their signs, there's really no reason why they need to come in that way to the concert. Leaving might be one thing. The other question I have, maybe you can get with us later, is the mayor and I are looking at today. It looks like that there's an on and off ramp to the new parking lot from Howard Drive. Mm-hmm. There was barricaded today, but that's mm-hmm. open. So they can get in there from Howard or...
They can only come in from Dennis Walter Way. When the event's over, that will be utilized at the next concert. We had to do some grading so that, you know, somebody in the sedan doesn't bottom out trying to go over that. So we've lowered it, we've leveled it off. And so parking staff attendants will have right turn only out of that parking lot onto Howard after the event. And we're also considering left turn only out off of Dennis Walter Way. That way you don't have competing interests. You have traffic going one way and then other traffic going. Because when the concert's over, all the traffic from the meadow gets routed out the back.
Right.
Because what they start to do is empty out the parking in the park first, mm-hmm. the fields that are part of H.B. Fuller, and then the meadow has to go out the back. Otherwise, those people would be sitting there for an inordinate amount of time. So we do send those out back. Luckily, that time of night, it's 11 o'clock, there's not much traffic on Howard. So we have a police officer stationed down there to, you know, keep traffic moving out. But there's usually not much competing traffic anyway. But there will be the curb cut that goes on Howard from the new parking will be used for exit only. For these foreseeable events.
Did the signs help at all the last concert? Did it prevent people from parking there, or was it still?
Well, I think the police officer probably helped more than the signs did. The signs are, we tried to strategically locate them so that there was not enough room to get cars in there, but also having the police officer stationed there. You know, he leaves after the event starts, so you don't anticipate a lot of traffic coming in at that point.
It just seemed maybe we need to have them there longer. I don't know if TMZ is going to pay for it, or this comes out of city funds.
This would be the city.
I think.
Yeah.
I think the city can afford for him to sit there for.
Well, and the mayor and I did have that conversation after I had a chance to listen to the audio, and we talked about it, and I said it's not a huge expense to have someone out there, and having an extra officer is never a bad thing.
Right.
So I certainly don't have a problem allocating some resources to have an officer yeah. there for every concert. And we are talking 12 to 14 or 15 per year. I've been to PNC in Charlotte, and again, like Mr. Cummings, I don't want to make it sound like we're doing better than other people, so therefore we've done enough, because we want to do right by everybody. But what I will say is going to PNC Pavilion in Charlotte, it is in a residential area. I have waited over an hour to get into that venue and over 2 hours to get out of that venue. It is a nightmare. So I think we're doing a pretty good job comparably. Now, our venue is capacity-wise a little bit smaller, so, you know, you can't really compare. It's not apples to apples because they have a higher capacity than we do. But it's not uncommon for amphitheaters to be located out in areas like this that are largely residential. It's not like the Bonscore Wellness Arena where it's downtown and you have multiple parking options, you know, for blocks and blocks where people can safely park and walk. This is more challenging. I mean, you really need to try to accommodate all of the cars that are coming into that venue. Otherwise, you have people walking on two-lane roads and it's dark and it's not safe. So, you know, we really need to try to figure out the balance.
Okay. Well, my biggest two concerns that I'd like to see addressed is making sure that we have officers there at the back so they're not parking there. If they are parking there, they need tickets. I don't want to direct the chief on how to police. That's not our role. But if they're parked there, if they're coming after the police officer leaves, then they need to get ticketed or they need to get towed. Mm-hmm. Once that gets out, they'll stop parking there. And then I'm still very concerned with drinking. I understand that they're supposed to, well, you know, looks intoxicated for one person might not be for the next. That's further conversations that we'll have, but what that looks like, what the rule is, and how that's being enforced. Yeah, I think that's a problem. Maybe it just hasn't been caught yet or documented. officially, but I think it's a big problem. I want to make sure, you know, that they're cutting these people off at a certain time and they're not over-serving. The other thing, and this isn't a question, just that new subdivision going on, I'm afraid, and I know that was, I think you said passed back in 2017, things have changed in 6-7 years. This might, I don't know what that's going to look like when it's done, but I don't think it's going to make it better. So I think
no, certainly not. It's more traffic.
Yeah. Something we need to implement now before that. It's going to be another cut through neighborhood. I hope the realtor is going to be very obvious if people move into that subdivision, what they're looking at. But that's all. Thank you.
Councilmember Hutchings.
I've tried to read every email and read every post that I possibly can about this, and I think I've got kind of a good feel for what all the different complaints have been. We've covered some of these already. I'm still not quite sure on alcohol. Are we saying 30 minutes before the end of each concert is when they currently cut off sales?
That is correct.
But concerts, some of them last longer than others. I mean,
they all are scheduled to end at 11. That's the noise ordinance curfew.
The promoter also has the playlist. You can download the playlist yourself when people come. Mm-hmm. I'm saying they have a very good idea of the sales curfew.
That's one thing I'd like to see us get, you know, concrete ruling on of some sort. I know I worked at concerts before, and they stopped serving a lot earlier than that. The ones I was working, we actually had to cut people off who were standing in line, and when a certain time came, we cut off sales. That concerns me from a liability standpoint with what I'm hearing, people going out of there, some of them going out of there with pretty intoxicated, and if you get that under control, that would help people not getting in their cars intoxicated and driving out. And it seems to me that would be easier, or not easier, but would be one way to control it rather than trying to find a way to stop somebody that's already in the car. I'm hearing a lot about the noise ordinance, particularly on weeknights, going over the time limit for the ordinance, and that these concerts, the performers or whatever pay a
point
fine.
Of order. I'm sorry. The motion on the floor has to do with safety and control measures for concert traffic, and I'm not sure how the noise ordinance has to do with that. It's not important, but. Maybe a separate issue.
A rule in agreement with Councilmember Houlihan, we need to stay on the motion.
To that, I think we should have some sort of policy on noise ordinance if this is
not. I'm not aware of any noise ordinance violations. I'm at most of these events, and the only time we've ever exceeded, and it's been quite a while since that's happened. And the one time I can recall is because there was a serious thunderstorm, people had to go back to their cars, and you've got to mitigate getting people their money's worth when they buy a ticket and come to these events, and you know, adhering to the noise ordinance. And so sometimes, very rarely, there are exceptions, only in rain events, that might allow us to go past 11 o'clock. But the noise ordinance is clearly posted. When you leave backstage to go onto the stage, it's posted on the door. And so, performers are aware.
I'm going to ask you to suspend and cut off because we're not on the motion.
Okay. If I could just say again, and I think I started out with this is not the last discussion we're going to have about this. This is just you all, if you voted in the affirmative, asking me to seek these solutions. It will continue to do that. But, you know, I don't consider at the end of the vote tonight or the fact that we've already employed some of these measures to be the end of this discussion. I'm going to keep monitoring it. I'm going to try to attend most of these events so I can see with my own eyes what's happening. I think one thing that we can do, I've heard it from a couple of you, you know, people leaving and with the appearance of being overserved and perhaps driving. I don't know if those people who have been overserved are the ones driving or if they have a designated driver or maybe they're waiting for an Uber or a Lyft. I hope people in 2023 with so many options would be more responsible because a lot of this does come down to personal responsibility. But one thing I would like to do, and it didn't occur to me until just now, is have the police department run some statistics, you know, on accidents or DUI arrests or anything that might correspond with concert dates to see if these things are happening and creating a public safety hazard. And if that's the case, then we can look at, you know, maybe asking TRZ to cut off alcohol sales an hour before the end of the event. We'll just have to see what the data shows and you know, what our own observations show. Because I do think we've come a long way in a very short time to try to mitigate some of these problems. But I'm not saying this is the end of it. I mean, I have the charge when I leave here to continue to investigate and offer solutions for this. And, you know, we'll work directly with the management company to do that. We want the best experience for the concert goers, for the residents, for the city as a whole. You know, you've got a lot of people going into a venue roughly at the same time. You've got all of those people exiting at exactly the same time. I grew up in Easley. We didn't drive on Clemson home game Saturdays because of the traffic volume that came through there. You know, and I can't imagine living in Clemson and dealing with game day traffic there. You know, every time there's a venue of this nature, these issues are going to be present. We need to figure out a way to try to do as much as we can to mitigate that. But I don't think we're going to solve every single problem every time. But I'm not aware of DUI crashes or arrests that would support that people are getting in their cars and driving. I haven't seen that. You know, I think our law enforcement do a really good job. We make a lot of DUI arrests regularly. I do want to investigate and see how many of those, like I said, correspond with concert dates and times. Because I think that would be really critical information for us to consider.
Two other points. Communication is another area that I feel like we need to work on with the management people.
Point of order. Not germane to the motion.
Liberal in agreement with Councilmember Gooch. Again.
What was the problem?
It's not germane to the motion. It's
communication regarding traffic.
If you'll quickly get to where that is in regards to traffic.
The complaint I'm hearing is that Uber and Lyft drop-off areas and so forth are not clearly defined and that the people with TRZ don't always communicate to the concert goers where those areas are. It creates a lot of confusion and traffic issues on its own. Is that something that's...
There's only one entrance for Uber and Lyft. And that's the rear entrance on Dennis Waldrop Way off of Howard Drive. And I think, you know, I see Uber and Lyft drivers as I'm leaving constantly coming up that road. So I think they know that's the way in. They're certainly not going to come in the front, especially after an event, because there's such a large amount of traffic going out. So I don't understand what the problem is with communicating that. I think it's difficult to get an Uber or a Lyft because a lot of drivers don't want to deal with the traffic. Again, you know, not apples to apples, but when I've gone to other events, you know, Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, you have to walk for a good half hour before you can even call for an Uber or a Lyft because nobody's coming anywhere near that stadium because the volume of traffic around there. And the fact that it's barricaded off and you just can't get close to it, even before, you know, when you're getting dropped off for those events, it's really difficult to get very close to the venue. I think we probably are able to get Uber and Lyft drivers closer than almost anybody, because they are able to come in off that rear entrance. I mean, ideally, it would be nice if only rideshare people use that, but what we have found is people are coming that way, and you either turn around and back traffic all the way up to 417, which is not working for anybody, or you accommodate a certain number of them. Now, once those parking areas are full, the part of the meadow that's being, that we hope to have by next season roped off solely for traffic coming from the backside of the park, once that's full, once the new parking is full, then we can start to turn people around, or not even turn around, just say, keep going, you can't come in here. And that would keep traffic moving and only let Uber or Lyft drivers come in at that point. And then clearly communicate to people that there are going to be about 1,200 spots coming in from the back. And once those are full, no more traffic is coming in that way unless it's a ride share. So I think that'll help. Like I said, I think a lot of the measures that we have put into place very recently, like in the last 2 weeks, are going to help this. And it'll be helpful for me to be able to see with the last event of the season how these things are working too. I don't expect it to be perfect, but I'm hoping between observations of that and off-season changes, we can make it function a lot better next year.
Well, let me just end with this. I'm very proud of this facility. I brag on it a lot, and I think, as you and I discussed, a lot of these issues are growing pains because we're getting bigger shows and more shows, and we've added seating, and attendance levels are higher. So I'm very encouraged that we're discussing this and working on some solutions. You mentioned earlier about a map. Mm-hmm. That would be very helpful to me. If we could get a map that shows the current, the traffic patterns and so forth, that would help me, because I'm not quite sure with all the changes we've had in construction.
They haven't had a chance to update with the new parking or the change in how we have traffic flow into the meadow. I was hopeful I could have that for you. I know that they're still in the event mode right now. So at the end of the season, we'll get that map updated. It'll show the exact number of parking, and maybe we share that publicly too, just so people can see. You know, 1,200 is it. Once it's full, you're going to be routing around, and it might make you late getting into the venue. So if you don't get there early, you may want to make sure you use the front entrance.
Thank you.
Councilmember Hulley.
I think we all agree that there's a problem, and we're looking forward to some more solutions. I look forward to your recommendations at the next business meeting of council. Therefore, I'm going to move mayor and council that, or mayor and council, I'm going to move the previous question.
I have a motion from Councilmember Houlihan and a second from Councilmember Gooch to move the previous question. The subsidiary motion is not debatable. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All those as opposed signify by saying no. No. And the motion carries. So the debate is closed on this motion. I had some things to say. So anyway, I will now call for a vote on the motion to direct city administrator to investigate and make recommendations for safety and control measures for concert traffic. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. That concludes all of the business that's on the agenda. If there are no objections, we will stand adjourned.
I don't know what's wrong with this microphone. We might be, because it was mine, what I was using that wasn't even close to yours.
And it I think you had it a little close.
Did I have it too close to me or too close to your microphone?
No, because mine was over here.
Yeah, I know. Too close to me.
Maybe so.
Because then I moved yours close.